We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Radio.com. Hey, welcome back here for the 8 o'clock hour. Bryant McKinney, the former University of Miami All-American left tackle, will join us coming up. Some of the things he's doing, pretty cool. He and Romberg and some of the other guys that were on some of those good offensive lines with
Big
the
Vern
University. Big guy. Vern.
Yeah. Yep.
Big Vern. Never forget about Big Vern. He is Little Vern now compared to that kid of his.
Jeez. Huh? Both those kids. The other kid, too, now.
Kid is
The younger Vernon Jr.'s younger brother is now already making the recruiting rounds.
Basketball, too?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know, a little boy, they lineage were smart, in that man. Family. Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that gene pool is super strong. I wasn't sure if I should bring this up, and I wanted to make sure my son would be fine with it, because I have to do that now with the kids older. I've had to be a little more careful about things I've said so I don't upset people who are formerly in my life.
Well, your kids are adults, that's why. Now.
Yeah, so you don't want to get calls from your first batch of kids about things, and
or really your second.
Which I've been blasted, and now my second batch of kids, they get older, all blast me. Either they hear something directly or secondhand, but
secondhand's
equally. I'm usually getting blasted on my phone, like leave certain people alone, and you know. And so I have become, I think that's a sign I'm starting to grow up a little bit, because I'm getting better. So my son is 33 years old, Garen, and he's got all his buddies going through, everybody's getting married and stuff. And one of his friends, when he went to high school down here at St. Thomas, is getting married and is marrying a girl that was formerly a stripper.
Hmm.
So as you can imagine, everybody's upset. Everybody's got an opinion on it, and you know. So I was listening to all this stuff, and it's like, look it, man. My take is, if you're happy and he likes her, he's the one that's gotta be married to her. If they're in love. Like, I always love how everybody's like, oh, this got no shot to work. How many guys she been with as a stripper?
Well, that's the questions that would go through my mind.
Probably making really good money.
I know.
And she stopped.
It just always is a question to me when it comes to a stripper. And no offense to any of the strippers out there, but there are a couple.
No, you just think it.
There's bad eggs out there that make all of them look bad.
She is retired, not currently a stripper.
Retired stripper.
Retired.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long has she been out of the game?
I didn't get in.
Better question. How long was she in the game?
I was just listening.
That is a better question, actually.
And I just gave my two cents to the group that was listening. I said, listen, man, I probably shouldn't. I don't get it saying this, but since it's openly being discussed, like if he's happy.
I understand that. But there always is a side story to all this stuff. There always is.
So once you're a stripper, but I notice, I go, she's not even a stripper now. You guys still call her stripper.
Well, because she was a stripper at one point. That's the problem. And that's where someone's going to bring it up.
So you can imagine who the people are most upset are the parents.
Yeah, mom and dad.
People my age.
I'm trying to picture myself bringing home younger. An ex-stripper and saying I'm going to get married and seeing what my mom's reaction would be like. Or my dad's.
So mine is, with everything going on in your life, are you guys really worried about him marrying a stripper?
Looking out for his buddy.
See, I just said it.
They're looking
a
out for
former
his buddy.
Stripper.
Yeah, looking out for his buddy, just in case.
Very, very pretty woman.
Sure, I can imagine.
So I just
Joe, a lot of bad things happen in strip clubs. You know that. I mean, not maybe personally, but I worked in one. I saw the good and the bad,
right?
And I saw a lot of the good that got bad reputations.
Well,
he met her.
He met her in the club.
But he met her in the strip club.
Yes.
Okay. It's game over. He got a lap dance and fell in love, and now he's marrying her.
However, I didn't get into specifics.
I'm just taking. I'm taking a wild guess, and I'm no genius.
I don't know if it was a dance or a VIP.
What am I closer probably to the truth than anything else?
Yeah, but you can't when you start the story. That's like the key part of the story
that you left out.
Because like when he's telling the kids at some point in his life, like, how'd you meet mom?
Well, I've noticed a lot of parents don't tell
the
kids
friction
everything.
Room. I met mom in the friction room.
And by the way, at that point, she just does, if I would think, she pulls a little white lie on it and says she was a waitress in the strip club.
You can get away with that a little bit more than I actually was.
Well, look, I was a place where I was getting great tips and stuff, but I wasn't actually doing dances and going up to the VIP room for a little uh-uh.
Okay, so what happens if 10 years from now, after they're married, maybe have a kid and Garen's around with
Why are you
kid.
Worried about down the road? There no, you go.
Because like, I'm worried about this.
Who
hey,
cares?
They're all sitting around having a cigar in the backyard, a glass of wine, and someone, everyone's a little bit half high, like you like to say. Everyone's a little half high
half
in the
high.
Back.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, someone makes a joke like, hey, where did you guys meet? And Garen, because he's half high, you know, drinking a lot that night, whoever goes, yeah, I know they met.
Sharon to the main stage. Sharon to the main stage. Bambi to
it's
the main
weird.
Stage.
But I have no problem with it. If the girl's a nice girl, she's a nice girl.
She seems like a
but
really
nice
girl.
They need to come
girl.
Up with a different story.
Yeah, the waitress has to be the best you could do there. You cannot say mom was a dancer. You can't.
So I just said, hey, man, your buddy did really well. She's a very attractive and girl, and she's a little bit younger. And I said, man, she looks great. He's done really, really well,
and
she seems really nice. She was
and they
very
let off
nice.
With that story, though.
And, of course, they couldn't. As soon as they left, they went, hey, dude, there was something else we got to tell you about her. Like, Miss Personality over there that you really liked and talking about how good she looks and stuff and how nice she was to you. She's a former stripper. And I go, does that make her bad? Like,
I think just by...
People do things, Zach.
I know.
People do things and then go, hey,
I regret doing what I did.
I regret doing
problem.
It.
It
but
really
but I make good money and I'm not...
They just need to get a different story. They need to make up a new story. Like Zach said, like you can't tell the kids eventually that you met your mom in the show.
You guys are already worried about the kids.
Yeah,
no kids.
Well, if they're getting married, they're probably at least thinking about that.
People have asked you, Joe, how you met your wife.
Of course.
I
get asked that all the time.
They ask it at nice places, like if you're at a dinner party with people.
No, my wife gets, how are you still married to him? Like, how did you do it?
Well, you're a special case. Anyone else, people at a dinner party would ask that question.
My wife,
how'd you two meet?
My wife goes,
the friction
did
room.
You hear what, guys come up and go, did you hear what he said? Were you listening and stuff? And she goes, no, I don't listen. But, yeah, so.
Listen, she's probably a nice girl. The problem is the backstory, and that's where it's going to come in 10 years from now, where the backstory is going to come out. And if you have a kid, where you're going to, how are you going to tell that story? I'm sure she's nice. Maybe she's in the percentile of people that work at adult clubs that isn't. That we're talking about. Maybe she's not. The problem is she's under that umbrella.
Well, the family is a well-to-do family, and they're really struggling with it. And the kid, of course, has told him, listen, sorry you don't like it. I'm in love with her.
Well, good for him.
And well, the guy's a hero, by the way, because I feel like it's very difficult. Like, the strippers pretend they like you, but they never really do,
yeah.
Right? So this guy's kind of a hero in a way.
I think they've been.
My buddy fell in love with a stripper every time he went.
For a while.
He could have been married 16
yeah,
times.
They're very nice to you, but they don't. You know from experience, Joe, they don't want to go home with you.
Mm. Not all the time.
So this guy's kind of a hero in a way, if you think about it.
Yeah. And someone's texting him, what's wrong with strippers, Zach? There's nothing wrong with strippers.
You just got to fix the backstory.
It's the story that you have to tell about that. There's nothing wrong. I'm sure plenty of strippers are married. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a hard story to sell. That's it.
If you're at Thanksgiving dinner with a lot of people, and they ask, hey, how'd you guys meet? Because it's a small talk. You can't say, like Zach said, you can't say the friction
Great
room.
Great text. What if you're somewhere, and what if a friend meets her and realizes he's gotten a lap dance from her? How do you explain that one at a dinner party?
Let me just
that's
say
unlikely.
All this.
That's very
Is
unlikely.
It? No, is it unlikely?
Remember.
First of all.
Come on, that's unlikely.
Yeah.
First
of
all. What if it was really good?
You guys.
Now you're just getting gross.
No,
it's very unlikely anyone is going to place her.
Okay. She's hot. She works in the same town as you. She works
Relax.
In one of the two strip
clubs.
No one's
going to place her. No one's going to be like, I know her from somewhere.
Someone says, pretty woman movie doesn't happen in real life.
See, I'm telling
it
you,
is.
This guy is some sort of hero. I don't know what kind. But
marrying the stripper.
My son's friend's not the best looking kid, okay?
All right.
Really? So he's ugly and he's still got it. That's impressive.
Yeah.
He's a nice kid and he's doing great. But I'm just saying.
Okay. So nothing wrong with it.
So this
good
guy
for him.
Is obviously a hero. He's a mutant. He went into a strip club and pulled a girl like that.
But, I mean, it didn't happen like yesterday. I mean, it's.
Doesn't like matter. They date for a while?
Dating. She slowly got out of the business.
What's she doing now?
I didn't ask that. Mm. Jesus, how many things am I supposed to ask? It was just.
You also should lead off the story by saying the guy is repulsive because that also makes the story
it
more
does.
Interesting.
It does.
I didn't say that. Yeah. I just said he's just an average-looking kid is what I meant to say. Young guy.
Maybe he sticks with the original story since he's so ugly.
I mean, that does help the story out
a lot. I just love
how. It's a cool story. The guy's a hero.
I just love that.
You don't hear a lot of people marrying,
I did tell my son, I said, you know, it's amazing. I guess he's got to get used to every time he leaves the party with this gal that he's going to marry, that he's got to get used to knowing everybody's going to talk about him behind his back.
The second they leave.
Soon as they leave. And people
especially
are going to
the first night
know.
When the story's told.
Because everybody wants to know how long did she strip, what club, because people know most of the clubs down here. It's a
crazy story.
Texts coming in are pretty good.
Yeah, someone said, let's get back to Dolphins talk. My 8-year-old asked me what a stripper is. Sorry, sir, but eventually you're
going to
find out.
No, no, no. I thought
out.
A dancer.
The kids in school, I guess, what are they doing?
Summer camp. They're not in really school, are they?
Yeah, there's
it's
no school.
Summer.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's no school. Like,
Maybe he's out with his dad getting coffee.
All right. I'm done with it.
This is interesting.
I just thought it's
an interesting story.
Well,
I think Hollywood's right. If you would have started off by saying the guy's an ugly dude,
everything going
and
he's
on marry a hot stripper.
In my personal life, Zach, in your personal life, and even in Hollywood's, like none of us have. Like I got other stuff to worry about to have to sit around. I don't know. Maybe when you're younger, you get more caught up in calling your buddies and going, "Hey, dude, you ain't gonna believe." Like in the last year, I've kind of focused in on my own stuff and don't have time when somebody hits me with some whatever it is.
Well, that's the first time in your life that you haven't worried about it.
So you're just, like when I find out, and of course, it's not my son.
Okay.
Maybe it's different.
What if
I don't know.
Your son
I
called
can't
you?
I can't answer that.
Okay.
But I would tell him probably, if you're happy,
okay,
I'm good.
What about the ex? What do you think the ex would say if he called her with a stripper?
I'm not going there.
I'm just saying.
I am not going there. I have no idea. Okay. Not one of my just biggest fans. So I'll probably just stay away from that for a second.
Someone said my friend dated a stripper that I got lap dances with, among other things, in the champagne room from. I didn't have the heart to tell him. I just feel like that might happen, and that's what you got to worry about. Even though it's a big town, big city, whatever it is, you just never know.
Okay, so let me just say this. Yeah. So you don't think there's guys out there that their buddies have slept with their wives when they're all buddies and stuff? That goes on all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
What do you mean it goes on all the time?
I'm sure it has happened.
When everybody's like knows everybody and one of the guys hooks up with her and it doesn't work out because
the crazy crap that happened in your life is not like normal. I wouldn't say it happens all the time.
I
think it happens, but I don't know if it happens as frequently.
My roommates at college slept with half the women of Berkeley and half the sorority and the high quality sororities. He was sleeping with everybody and he broke up with this girl. He never really liked her. But anyway, one of my teammates ended up marrying her. Very awkward.
Yeah, see? That's really awkward. Now imagine.
But they've been together for
imagine
40
if the story
years
was that instead of sleeping with her, you paid and you were in the fantasy room with her at a strip club. That'd be weird. It would just be weird. That's it.
There's
good
lot.
For him. I hope he's happy, especially if he's an ugly dude.
There's a lot of people in your group. There's got to be somebody.
That married a stripper?
No, that married somebody and it didn't work out and they broke up and somebody else started dating her. That happens all the time.
Yeah, I can imagine it does.
That does happen all the time. But I know the stripper thing's
that's
a
it.
Different
it's all
level.
Thrown in there.
I got you. All right. Anyway.
Stop it, texters. Some of the textures are just ugly.
Of course. Tell
them we met in the club. That's the excuse. You don't have to be what kind of club.
Well, first of all, most parents don't tell their kids the truth about stuff as they get older anyway.
No, I know that, but if you...
I got a bunch of friends. I go, do you ever tell your kid you snorted coke and smoked marijuana? And they go, no, God, don't, please. Just because you open your mouth, don't do it with me. I don't want my kids to know. Right? That's the common thing.
Mm.
or whatever you did, hey, I'd appreciate, you know, I was young once. We don't need to tell the kids that. That's how most parents are.
But I think they'll tell the truth if they ask where you met. Like, where did you two meet?
The only way the truth ever comes out is if your ex sits down and she still hates you and she tells the kids everything. That's the only – I'm just saying, I've never had that happen, but that would be the one way where your kids come up to you when you're, say, they're 15, 16, 17, 18, and say, hey, mom said that you – I go, oh, she's mad again.
If anyone else said that, I would say maybe. With you saying that, I say, yeah, that probably more than likely happened.
So, yeah. Yeah. We got to move on. I don't know. This thing just went right in the gutter. And like the guy said, he's got an 8-year-old with him. What the hell are we doing?
Well, then I'm not reading any more texts. Just tell me when your 8-year-old's out of the car so I can read the rest of the text. No. It's bad.
Yeah, it was just.
These are examples people are sending in of things that might have happened.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, I said my buddy married a girl that he met at the bachelor party. Mind you, we all got some action from her that night. He married her after.
Okay.
Yeah, that's weird. It's just weird. Like, you're always going to look at that girl 10, 15 years from now as a mom, whatever it is, and be like, damn, remember that night at the bachelor party?
Shut up, Hollywood. Stupid stuff. Such an idiot. He just got this stupid. Such an idiot. You're such an ass clown. Oh, man. We got to go to break here. We really have to go to break here as we move on. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
All right, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Michael Lombardi.
We got him back.
We did. Friend
we
of
lost
the show.
Him for a while, but we he's did. Back.
He's back. And Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi joins us this morning. Mike, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I am great. Thank you. It's good to be back. I mean, you know, I thought you guys were ignoring me for a long time.
Yeah. We love you, Mike. What
I couldn't
do you mean?
Ignore you. When you went back up to the Patriots, you guys were winning. I had to see you again. You got to stop.
I love seeing you on the sideline, Joe. It was awesome. Yeah, no, it was tough to win in Miami. I mean, that game in 16 where we couldn't get anything going cost us home field advantage. It cost us probably another Super Bowl. But life moves on. We can, you know, six is enough. We'll keep going.
Yeah, I was going to say. Hey, speaking of that, as you know, and you know him very well, Brian Flores, first-time head coach now for the Miami Dolphins. What do you think? What will we see from Brian Flores as they try to rebuild this thing?
Look, my son's on the coaching staff, so people say, well, Lombardi, you know, you're just because your son's there. I have always loved Brian Flores. I think Brian demonstrated from the first time I met him that he had the qualities of a young Bill Belichick. He was smart. He was demanding. He did not mind confrontation with the players. He has his own way of doing things, and I think he's going to be ultimately successful. I think it's going to take some time as they try to offset the era of the past, the front office from the past, in terms of what Mike Tannenbaum was trying to accomplish, which I'm really never sure what it was. I think one of the advantages the Patriots always had was that Tannenbaum was at the Jets and the Dolphins. I mean, you can think about those two teams and what they were unable to do. So I think Flores is going to be outstanding. I really do. I think he's got everything you want, and he's his own man. He's not trying to be Bill Belichick. He's going to take what he learned from Belichick and put it into Brian Flores. And I think that's the essential. He's authentic.
You know, it's funny you said that because I was wondering how much of the Belichick way, not that nobody can be Belichick. Belichick's like Don Shula, the rest of those guys.
Nobody
can
be Belichick. You know, the guy's got 74 wins in the last – think about this, guys. He's got 74 wins in the last 5 years. The next closest competition to him is the Steelers at 57. He's lapped the field.
That's crazy.
He's lapped the field. Think about it.
You know, everybody keeps talking about when will it end. I finally heard a talk show host overnight say this. They're going, when will the Brady-Belichick thing – when's it come to an end? This run is going on – it's going on 20 years here real quickly, and they go, as soon as the Buffalo Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins figure it out. Would you agree with that?
I agree, and I think Miami's finally, I think Stephen Ross is finally, with Chris Greer and with Brian Flores, I think he's got a front office and he's got a coaching staff that he can build a culture. This is so important.
Yeah.
The Patriots win because of culture. I wrote this book, Gridiron Genius, shameless plug, I realize, but I wrote this book about culture. It's a football book disguised as a culture book. It really is. And the reason they're so successful is because of the culture that they've incorporated and developed. And this is what Flores will bring to Miami, a culture. You know, it's not about having a good sixth-round pick or signing this free agent, Ndamukong Suh, or whatever you do. It's about building the team inside out, controlling the middle of the field, being able to play in all kinds of weather, be mentally tough. That's culture. And I think that's what Brian will bring to the table.
Michael Lombardi, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, joining us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. All right, Mike, with all that said, expectations for this Dolphins team going into the season are very low. A lot of people have them at 3 wins or 4 wins and just have a bad season, obviously looking for that quarterback. But they did trade for a quarterback in the offseason in Josh Rosen to bring him in and see what he has. That was a smart move by the Dolphins to bring him in for that second-round pick or no?
Look, I think this. I think anytime you don't have a quarterback, you got to put all your assets into getting a quarterback. And if you don't find one, look, remember Pete Carroll when he signed Charlie Whitehurst and gave up a second and a third round pick to the Chargers and then drafted Russell Wilson? Okay. Nobody remembers Charlie Whitehurst now. They just remember he drafted Russell Wilson. I think you have to put as many assets against the quarterback wall as you possibly can. Will Rosen work out? I was not in love with Rosen coming out in the draft. I'll be brutally honest. I thought that he had talent, but I wasn't sure that he had the qualities that all great quarterbacks have, which is to get players motivated and have them follow. That remains to be seen. I could be completely wrong. However, it's worth the opportunity. For a low second-round pick, it's worth the opportunity to keep going. Because here's the key thing that you've got to understand about Belichick, and I think Brian Flores gets this as much as anything. We're going to keep trying until we get it right. We're never going to get into that belief we have everything comfortable, everything set. There's always going to be that competitive drive, that competitive spirit to where we're kind of constantly trying to improve this roster. And I think because of that, they won't settle until they know they have it.
We've been talking, and matter of fact, people are tired of hearing about culture and leadership, and players need to lead their own teams, the best players. And we just, as you know, we haven't been able to do it down here for a long, long time. And you wrote a book. I thought it was really interesting, a lot of that stuff. Talk about how you go about getting the leadership and that culture. Does it start with the head coach? Because he can't be with that 53 or 60 or 65 guys all the time. How do you get that? How do you find those guys on a football team?
It's real easy. It's really not that complicated. Number one thing, you're going to start training camp, right? The culture starts with this statement today. The best players are going to make the team. It doesn't matter where you were picked or where you were drafted. It doesn't matter how much you make. When you start with that and you don't try to manipulate the roster based on draft picks, based on salary, you basically tell the rest of the team it's an open market. It's a free system, and you can make the team. That's number one. Number two, you've got to define what people's jobs are from the organization on top down. Everybody's got to know what their job is. When Belichick says, do your job, he's already defined the job, right? Everybody knows what their job is. And so, therefore, you don't have anybody coming over and farming someone else's land. And I think it starts with the top. And I think what Chris Greer's done is smart. He's allowed Brian Flores to have the personality out there. The team has to run through the head coach. And then the players understand that if the roster's open and it's fair, and we're going to put together the right team and not care about getting criticized in the paper if we blow a pick or make a bad selection, then the culture of the building, people realize it's fair, and the players will gravitate towards that. And then do your job, and then everything else falls into place. And then, you know, there's only one sign when you walk into the Patriots. There's no Super Bowl sign when you walk in the office. There's one sign that says, do your job, be attentive, put the team first, and speak for yourself. That's it. That's their culture.
Wow.
And I think those four things are really what matter most.
So, Michael, the way that the Dolphins, or the way we're kind of looking at the Dolphins over the next 18 months, maybe struggle this season but put all their chips in the basket trying to get their number one, the quarterback next year, whether it's Tua, whether it's Herbert, whether it's one of these guys in college football right now, this is obviously the way to go in Flores. This is the system to kind of to go with it, because this is where it looks like it's going, as it's going to be a top pick next year and it's going to be a quarterback. That's the way to go, you think?
Well, I think they got to establish the culture. Look, the number one thing Brian's going to do is make sure that everybody in South Florida understand the name on the front of the jersey is more important than the name on the back, right? That's what everybody has to get through their heads. They don't understand it. I mean, do you realize in 19 when the U.S. team hockey team played the Soviet Union 2 weeks before the great victory? Do you believe in miracles? That team lost 13-1 at Madison Square Garden to the Russians. 13-1.
Wow.
And Herb Brooks basically developed that culture based on the players that fit, not the best players, the players that fit. So give Brian that opportunity to allow him to put the best players in place, to allow him to build the best team, because it's going to look bad at times, just like 13-1 looked bad for the U.S. hockey team. But eventually it's going to come around because they're going to collect enough talent, they're going to build enough culture that it's going to go forward, because the name on the front is way more important than the name on the back. And once you understand that, once you accept that, you can move forward. Look, we all need great quarterbacks. But when they drafted Tom Brady in the sixth round, nobody thought he was a great quarterback, right?
No.
Okay? And so eventually now he's the greatest of all time. And so as we move forward, I think you're going to see this. It could happen. It could happen the first pick in the draft. It could happen in the middle of the draft. It doesn't have to be Justin Haber or Tui. It could be someone else that comes in and fits. We just don't know. But the one thing we do know is we're going to build the right culture.
Hey, I want to ask you about another team that's going to be really interesting to watch. I'll just say interesting. The Cleveland Browns, young, talented, cocky, Mayfield, Beckham, all the rest of these guys. How do you think this all plays out? What happens in that division?
I think when you read Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, he talks about how organizations go from good to great organizations. And he's got like five or six really essential qualities the organization has to have. And the Browns violate every one of them, okay? They violate every one of them. And I mean, it's wonderful to be cocky, but they didn't win any games.
No.
You know, I call them the Virgil Salazzo of the NFL. And the reason I call them Virgil Salazzo is because they have now moved from nobody gives a darn about the Browns to the hunted one. Because of their self-proclamation of how great they are, teams are no longer going to look at that Brown game on their schedule and say, oh, God, how am I going to get the team pumped up for this game? No, they don't have to worry about that. No. The team will be pumped up for that game. And they'll come into that game with a great, great focus and energy because they know they're playing a team that thinks they're really good. I think that's a challenge. The games are going to change. And look, the last 5 minutes of these games determine the outcome oftentimes. And I think the Browns are going to have to prepare themselves before they become great.
Hey, what do you think, Adam Gase, going to the Jets? That surprised you at all as taking that last job?
I think sometimes a second chance for a guy. I think where Adam Gase is, how many times did I report they were trying to trade Jarvis Landry and everybody told me I was an idiot, right?
You did.
Everybody,
you know what? I got to give you – I totally forgot about that. You did.
Right. They called me an idiot, you know, instead of blah, blah, blah. Look, to me, what I think Adam Gase needs to do is be able to handle confrontation with the players. I think that's going to be his – really going to be the key component. Does he want to be liked or does he want to be respected? And I think you got to be able to take it on and you got to be honest with the players. When, you know, you're trying to trade him and you're telling everybody in the league what a problem he is, and then all of a sudden, it gets out there, you know, and you don't want to – I'm not saying you should say it's true. You should basically just say, hey, look, we're going to do what's best interest for the Miami Dolphins, right? But then when you tell the player you're never going to trade him, now you're lying to him. You lose the culture within the building.
Yeah.
And I think that's really problematic. And so how many times did I do that? I mean, you know, it was hilarious. Every time I would report something down there, they would say I'm crazy, yada, yada. and I know who they're talking to.
That did happen. I'm laughing
That's
with
right.
you because I remember the reaction when you did it. It was hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
Me down there. And I'm not Adam Schefter. I'm not trying to break any stories. I'm not trying to break any news. Like, that's Adam Schefter. He does it 24/7. He's his own news channel, right? So is Wojo in basketball. I'm a football guy. I started in football. I'm always going to be a football guy. I'm a writer now, but when I say something, it's pretty much accurate because I got it from somebody who knows.
Mike,
you're right on that one.
Yeah, we got to give you credit for that one. All right, so you're the GM of Dallas or you're the GM of the Chargers. You paying one of these young running backs this big deal, this Todd Gurley type deal, or no?
You know, for me, running backs is a position that I think I could find. The Zeke Elliott one, for me, he's so talented. I don't think we've seen how talented Zeke Elliott is in terms of the passing game. I think they've done a disservice to Zeke in terms of what he can bring to a team as a receiver, then runner. I think we just see him run the ball. This guy's incredibly talented. I would be very tempted to pay him, but I would ask him, really, to me, to pay him, I would go to Dak Prescott and say, look, Dak, you know, you're a good player. You ain't a great player yet. You know, and this contract is going to be about you being a good player. The next contract will be about you being a great player. If you want to be paid like a great player, that's going to be a real problem. I think that's the conversation that has to happen before I go to Elliott. I think Gordon's really a good player. I love him. But I think the team doesn't, again, the name on the front's more important than the name on the back. I got to find other players. That's the job of the general manager. I got to manage this cap.
I'll tell you one thing. You brought your A game today.
Well,
boy,
done,
I'll tell you
Mike.
What. If this
well
is the way you're
going
to come out of the blocks every week, I mean, strong, strong.
I mean, this is who I am. I mean, the one reason I'm probably not in the league is I'm too honest. You know, everybody doesn't. That's why Belichick and I get along, because I could tell him something and it would never face him. He would just look at me and say, yeah, I think you're right, or I think you're screwed up, or, you know, let's have a conversation about it. But there's too many people in the NFL that just want to be told how wonderful they are and how great everything is. Like, to me, I think the key thing in the NFL is being able to reverse engineer every decision. Like, why won't this work? When most teams in the NFL sit there and decide how great their decision is, when you look at it in a reverse engineering method, you end up finding the faults in it.
Michael, thank you for your
thank
time.
You, Michael.
We'll
appreciate
you
it. Great having you, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Michael Lombardi, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Brian McKinney is joining us next year on the show.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, we're trying to track down Brian McKinney. A couple of phone calls, see if we can find him, and if not, we're okay. We'll continue on. By the way,
I'm still trying to put out the fire on Mike Tannenbaum's butt right here in the corner.
Yeah,
Mike Lombardi. Just
Lombardi.
Holy
I'm
moly!
I'm guessing Tannenbaum won't be eating lunch or dinner.
I doubt it.
Having any meetings?
Yeah, I doubt that
at all. And pretty clear. Lombardi's been in the NFL, whatever you think of him, and he's going to say what he thinks.
A long time. And been with Saban and been with Belichick and
he
been with all
of them.
He
went back with Bill Walsh.
I know.
He went back with Bill Walsh, who has got to be considered one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Sure, of course.
Right? The West Coast and what he did, building that thing. Do you remember? I actually caught the first year of that. 1980, my rookie year, Steve DeBerg and Joe Montana were splitting time. Trying to figure out who the quarterback was.
Not bad quarterbacks, either one of them, right?
I mean, it's kind of a – and if I'm not mistaken, Joe Montana was a third-round pick out of Notre Dame.
Yep.
But anyway, and you saw how that played out. DeBerg wasn't bad either. DeBerg?
No, that's what I'm saying. Steve DeBerg was a starter in the league for a lot of teams.
Bill Walsh said, hey, Joe, let's get this thing rolling. Next thing you know, 80 was over, and they got real good real fast with that. So so he's been with a bunch of different teams and stuff, so –
how about what he said about the fact that, like, when will the Patriots, like, run end? It's like when the other teams get it. Like, when the other teams kind of figure it out, like, what they're doing up there. Because every year it seems like, you know, barring the one year with the injury where Brady Wick got hurt in the first game and, like, the fourth play.
He took a lot of roundabout shots at Tannenbaum.
He did.
It wasn't just the one.
He was with the Jets. He was with the Dolphins. Patriots weren't
worried. Well, that was the first thing.
But then he was
just some other things about letting your coach be the coach and not trying to be the voice. And I was like, oh, God, he's just – this is
– bad. It was bad, Joe. It was bad.
And, you know, that's one of those because those guys are all in the league. You don't know Lombardi and
if they're
going back and forth.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you not friendly.
Well, no, I can tell after that they're not.
There was no love when he was with New York and apparently no love when he was with the Miami Dolphins that this is going on. Of course, Tannenbaum's now working at ESPN.
Yep.
Doing a lot of shows with Jeff Darlington out there.
That's right.
Yeah. So we had all – that was kind of
– fire. It's smoky in here.
That was when you and I looked at each other and go, holy smokes, how bad is this one going to be? Something I wanted to say that I left out on the story before about my son's friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's so she comes – and again, she doesn't have – they want to get married, and they've decided – I think they're going to do something small because he had asked for some help from his parents because they are doing well, and they said, no, we're not real big on this because we don't think it's going to work, which parents have a way, and I did it once and will never do it again, gave my opinion on somebody that one of my children was going to marry, And they end up getting married. Of course, you can imagine that I wasn't real popular with the other family. Well, so,
of course, it happens.
So that's why I told him, hey, man, you got to let the – so anyway, they're going to do something really, really small because the parents – decided
don't want to be heavily involved in this.
We're not gonna be heavily involved in something we don't believe in, and
you gotta be happy for your son, you know, no matter what.
Yeah,
if you found someone he loves, you gotta be happy. I understand the background story is a little weird,
and the other thing is, you end up blocking somebody out, you're gonna regret it.
Well, of course,
you block it out, you can go, hey, I'm so, we don't believe in this and we want nothing to do with it. Okay, then the kid just goes, well, I'm in love with her,
and you're out.
We're together, yeah. And if you don't want to be part of it, it hurts, but you know, we love each other.
It's a tough one for parents. I'm glad I'm still have years and years to worry about that.
Oh, no, you don't have to.
But, yeah, it's a tough one if you got a kid in that circumstance, you know.
I learned the hard way, and I always wondered if I was going to be – I think as parents, you can't help yourself sometimes. You got to give. Like,
well,
I'm not
looking after your
kid. I'm
not
mad because I did the same thing, and it was just
– Did you get a nod of displeasure from your parents when you were doing your first marriage?
Yes.
Was it more because they didn't think you were ready or more because they didn't think both you guys were fit?
They saw a lot of different angles, but one, yeah. I was friggin' wilder than them.
Okay. So it was a little from two different angles. Wilder, you're not ready, and
one of those
this
wild-ass
like,
horses out on the West Coast running around. I mean, it wasn't.
Listen, it's something for a parent. I can understand now that you're going to say what you feel, especially when it comes to your kid. Whether it's not what they want to hear or not, I can understand that. But sometimes you got to put your two cents in, because if you don't and you hold it back, it's going to get bad. I can't even imagine if the parents weren't happy and they just went on with everything and something bad happened, because the I told you so talk 10 years from now is not going to fix anything. So you might as well say something now and get it out of the way if you have something to say, and then hope that it just kind of mends over time.
Kind of how you say it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Delivery is huge.
And you
come
can
out and you're like, I don't want you to marry that stripper. She was probably doing lap dance. Well, you can't say that. But, like, I can understand the conversation that a dad has to have with a kid or a mom, you know.
That's part you don't have to say much about. Everybody knows. It's out there with everybody.
And people are texting in, oh, you know, I know a lot of strippers. Yeah, so do I. Like, I worked at a club. I saw the 50-50 split between the two strippers. I've seen them. One was, whoa, you can never bring her home to mom and dad. And the other one was, I'd bring her home in a second. Problem is, she's a stripper, but I'd bring her home in a second. I can understand it. There's two different angles to take on this.
Yeah.
It's just hard. It's tough. You go home to your everyday white fence, you know, dad climbed light poles for a living and mom's been a house mom the whole time. It's going to be tough to say, hey, mom, I'm marrying this girl. Oh, really? Where'd you meet her? I met her at a club and, you know, she's a dancer and, oh, wow.
If he told his mom and dad directly, but they found out, right? So if it started, she was just a waitress or just worked at a club is one thing, and it's another once you're showing it all. And
it's
then the Christian beliefs get in there with the family.
I'm not even adding the religion part to all
this. No, well, I did.
Yeah, that's a different story by itself.
It's a game changer.
Two straight texts. One, maybe they could have the wedding at her former employer. No, don't say that. Stop. And the second was, can't marry a stripper. Stop it. And there's lots of texts that said, I've hung out with
somebody
strippers.
Marries
I married
them.
Strippers. Yeah.
Some marries them. What happens? A girl, she stops and goes, hey, I'm done. I really love you. And I want to stop and I want to get out of this business. The money was good, but I'm ready to get out.
People are rough, man. I don't understand why you wouldn't. I mean, you got to change the backstory when you're at a dinner party and you know, how did you meet? But
at a nightclub.
Hey, so what do you do? Oh, I'm an attorney. It's my third year. What about you? Well, I'm a retired
stripper.
That's what.
It's tough.
That actually was funny. Tough.
Someone texted in this, Joe, I've hung out with plenty of strippers in my lifetime. Just like every other woman, you have your good and your bad. Just like I said, most women won't tell you about their complete past stripper story or not anyways at all. So Hollywood's wife could have been a stripper. Zach's wife could have been a stripper. Well, my wife wasn't. I know that for sure. And I'm only guessing Hollywood's wasn't, but I don't know the backstory there. So I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but I'm just saying.
Well, I've known her since she was 16. So if she was doing it before, it happened to be
perfect.
So she was a young stripper.
Yeah, she was a young one. Yeah,
it is. It's tough. The dinner party conversation's tough, but honestly, if you're in love with this girl and she's done and she's not going to strip anymore, like I couldn't marry an active stripper.
So So he was
like, that's a different story.
He was
right?
asked.
An active stripper?
There's plenty of worse jobs out there too.
He was asked. Oh,
prostitute.
He was asked this guy who by the way, you know, this hasn't been easy because he's getting it from everywhere, this guy. And he says, listen, man, I'm in love. So he's told my son and the other group of guys that they all went to school with and stuff. And he says, they said, can you take all the joking with? He goes, dude, it doesn't bother me. I get that okay. stuff's going to be said.
It's going to be said, yes.
And everything else. But and she did it down here at a very popular club. So, but he said he's cool with it. You know, they're in love. And he goes, man, I can't control love and how you feel. And so, I don't know. I just say, hey, man.
Well, that's true. I mean,
you
got to
support him. You got to support him. Right, you
have to support your kid.
You can think whatever you want. I'm not saying the parents. Parents aren't aboard. Period. His parents are not. Let me just repeat. One thing I got from my son is mom and dad and the rest of the immediate family that live in the Fort Lauderdale area that do real well are not happy.
But you also don't want to do that. You don't want to make that.
But it just makes it worse when you have the dough and you know her family doesn't.
Okay.
So that, and you're not bad, doing yeah. it and you're going, we're not, we're just not.
But you don't want to do that to your kid either. Like, you're going to regret that. If the parents are listening right now, you're going to regret
it. I'm just glad for once it's not me in the middle of, like, just I'm just on the outside telling the damn story.
It's not a story inside the house.
Me not getting invited to a kid's wedding or other things or. Yeah.
You may have to jump in, though, because if the parents aren't supportive, you might have to play the role of the father at the whole wedding and everything.
That ain't
the godfather, huh?
His mom and dad are doing just fine.
Can you jump in, like walk the stripper down the aisle? Can you do all that? Like, can you jump in?
Well, she's got a dad. She got a family.
Yeah, she's got her own family.
Her dad's going to walk her down.
They just can't afford.
Yeah. Well, that's weird.
A little bit. You can do a cheapie. You can do a little cheap one on the beach.
Well, this is where you jump in again.
Make it a little upgrade. The Joe Rose upgrade.
Those kids are. I didn't say they're like 21. I said the guys are all in
their
early
30s. Yeah, I know. That's how old your son is. Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Here's a good one. But if you're the guy's friend and it's really your friend and you give him a hard time, you're a D. I agree. Like, if your buddy is going to marry a stripper and he's in love, you can't mess with him forever.
You know the other problem with this?
You can't.
Guys that are married in his group, like my son.
Yeah.
They all. A lot of them are married, or they're all at that age, are all getting married.
They're all friendly, and
how they all accept it.
Well, the wives is what you have to worry about.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
the wives.
The wives is
the guys are guys.
They're going to mess.
We're pretty flexible.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird one.
We're pretty flexible, and then we have to go back and can you just suck it up? So what? What she?
Because
did
that conversation with the
so
wives.
So what?
Because
she didn't
happen.
Go to Florida for 4 years.
No,
come
no,
on.
No. But that conversation with the wives is going to happen at one point when you're at a dinner party, you're at someone's house for a party, and the dudes all go in the back to smoke a cigar together.
She's
at the table with the four other wives.
She's
that got have two kids.
Got a really nice figure, and
imagine.
And she shows it. She shows her a great figure.
I can imagine that also.
She's not wearing baggy clothes.
Not breaking news to me.
I'm gonna leave it at that because I don't want to take into Gabby Sanchez. I'd rather get from the poor Gabby. I'm sitting here, Gabby Sanchez, who worked with us before, now working with the Marlins, former Marlin player, and I'm going from strippers to Gabby.
I don't know. He might want to stay on the first topic.
I don't think so. I don't think he'll want to do that. Anyway, we got to go to break. We got a lot more stuff that we'll get to with Gabby. Look, Brian McKinney, he blew us off like a bad date. Speaking of that, we got blown off like a bad date. What else? Radio.com.
Radio.com. We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.